our shepherd. And our shepherd is still God himself. And so this morning I'm calling upon us to turn to the good book of Luke chapter 17 and verses 1 down to 10. Let's turn our Bibles in the book of Luke, the gospel according to Luke chapter 17 verses 1 down to 10. I'll call upon all of us that you follow as I read. The Bible says, "And he said to his disciples, temptations to sin are sure to come, but woe to the one through whom they come. They will be better for him if a millstone were hung around his neck and he were cast into the sea, that he should cause one of these little ones to sin. Pay attention to yourself. If your brother sins, rebuke him. And if he repents, forgive him. And if he sins against you 7 times in the day and turns to you 7 times saying, 'I repent,' you must forgive him." And the apostles said to the Lord, "Increase our faith." And the Lord said, "If you had faith like a grain of a mustard seed, you will say to this mulberry tree, 'Be uprooted and planted in the sea,' and it will obey you." Verse 7 says, "Will any one of you who was a servant plowing or keeping sheep say to him when he has come in from the field, 'Come at once and recline at table'? Will he not rather say to him, 'Prepare supper for me and dress properly, and serve me while I eat and drink, and afterward you will eat and drink?' Does he thank the servant because he did what he was commanded? So also, when you've done all that you're commanded, say, 'We are unworthy servants. We have only done what was our duty.'" And that's the word of the Lord. Let's pray. Dear Lord, we are so grateful for your word. Thank you so much for this new day of this new month. And God, we praise you for the many good things you've always done in our lives for the past 6 months of this year. And God, we are trusting you that you will always hold us fast to the faith you've given us for the rest of our lives. Thank you for the offerings and the tithes that we've given you this morning. Everything, God, is from you and everything belongs to you. May you always remind us that. And God, as I share your word, I pray that you'll use me. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. My name is Polax. For those who don't know me, I am an African. And some of my friends will say that, "Hey, Polax, your accent is so African. It's like the one found in the Black Panthers." And I'll tell them that's very true because I'm from Africa and I belong to Africa. But precisely, I come from Kenya. Kenya is in East Africa. So if you like safari, I think Kenya is the best place to go. This morning, I want us to think about a picture of faith. A picture of faith. And I know most of us, if not majority of us, we like taking pictures. Maybe we like using selfie sticks, and we take pictures. And once we've done taking pictures, we like posting them, either Instagram or Facebook, or maybe in our Kakao profiles, and whatever. But today, if you were told to draw a picture of faith, what will it look like? If you're told to make faith as a picture, what will that look like? You know, some of you, maybe it will be a big job. Maybe it will be healing of a particular disease. Maybe some of us, it will be maybe a lot and a lot of money. Students, I know you'll agree with me if it will be a good GPA. Yeah, I see Orlando smiling. Maybe you got your GPA for last semester. Maybe it will be a beautiful house, maybe an expensive car, or a brand new car, or the latest model. Those who love gadgets, maybe it will be iPhone. What's the latest? iPhone X or iPhone Y? Is there iPhone Y? I don't know. Maybe it will be lots of property. But once more, if you are given a chance to draw that picture of faith, what will it look like? You know, Jesus explains and he gives an example of a mulberry tree. And one thing about a mulberry tree is it is from a very tiny seed, of a mustard seed. But one interesting about a mulberry tree is a mulberry tree is so difficult to uproot because its roots are so widespread. And so to uproot a mulberry tree, it's difficult. But Jesus tells them, the message of having a mustard seed sized faith that comes, that can move mountains and mulberry trees communicates that even the littlest faith can do the difficult and the most impossible things that we can think of. And so the seed, it's so small, but grows so big. And the roots are so widespread. And that's the same thing that Jesus is bringing out. That little faith can do the most difficult things and even move the impossible in our lives. Let me pause there and ask you, what is the difficulty in your life today? What is the impossibility in this new month that maybe you've carried for the past 6 months, and today you're asking God, when is it going to pass? And therefore, it's not about the size of the faith, but it is the size of the God we put our faith in. Let me just pause there and repeat again. It's not so much about the size of our faith, but it's the size of the God we put our faith in. I like John Piper says, it's not the quality of faith, but the object of faith. And who is this object of faith? It is God himself. Remember, Christians, we are saved. Salvation is by faith alone, in Christ alone. God is the giver of faith, and today we are all seated here. And if you don't believe in that, I'm calling upon you. Accept Jesus Christ as your personal Savior and you'll receive the faith. And so many times, these difficult things and the impossible things happens inside our hearts. And the first thing is, forgiveness is difficult. The second is, faithfulness is difficult. And Jesus is teaching his disciples that true faith in God is seen in forgiveness and faithfulness to him alone. This is a clear picture of what our faith should look like and what Jesus Christ is teaching his disciples about how this faith should look like. And so the first thing that Jesus Christ comes and tells them, listen, let's go to verses 4. He says, verses 3 and 4, he says, pay attention to yourselves. If your brother sins, rebuke him. If your brother sins, rebuke him. And if he sins against you 7 times in a day and turns to you 7 times saying, I repent, the response that all of us must give to this brother is, forgive him. Forgive him. But Jesus knew, Christians, that forgiveness is difficult. Forgiveness is difficult. Jesus is speaking to his disciples who cry out to him, asking them to increase their faith. And the plea for increased faith came against the backdrop of the teaching of forgiveness. They wanted Jesus to give them enough faith to be able to forgive others and conditionally and infinitely as he was teaching them. And this statement by his disciples leads us to ask how forgiveness comes by faith. Our forgiveness comes by faith. And so what is faith? Faith in God is believing God is he who says he is and what he does, what he says he will do. And what is God? And so what is faith? It is in God. It is believing that God is he who says he is and he does what he says he will do. And today we believe that God is a forgiving God. He's forgiving our sins in the past. He's forgiving our sins in the present. And even he will forgive our sins in the future. We believe that God takes up the case for the oppressed people. God avenges. We believe that God is a healer. If then we have faith in God, then we must forgive others. We must forgive others. And the kind of faith that Jesus is teaching us from this is that it's infinite. It doesn't matter how many times you've been wronged. It doesn't matter how many times you've been wronged. Seven, Jesus Christ says, if he comes to you seven times, you must also forgive seven times. In simple, you should forgive as many times as you can because the forgiveness of God is infinite. Seven was understood by the Jews as the number of completeness, the number of perfection. And so to sin seven times therefore means to sin endlessly. And our forgiveness should not keep a log of wrongs. You know, I read that and I remember like when I was in elementary school, we used to have prefects. I don't know about Korea or where you come from, but in our country we have prefects. So prefects is like the class representative. And one of the responsibility of a prefect was to write the names of those who do wrong. And precisely, those who do wrong were those who were making noise in class. And if you make noise two times, you'll write there times two. If you make noise four times, five times, you'll write there times five. And at the end of the day, you'll present this list to the class teacher. You see, keeping a list of wrongs. But God is coming and telling us, my forgiveness is infinite. And therefore, we must show the same forgiveness to those who wrong us. Christians, as we live in this world, we will be wronged. That's a fact. People will step on our toes. People will mess us up. But God is calling us that we should forgive just as Christ has forgiven us. Husbands will mess up their wives. Wives will mess up their husbands. Boyfriends will mess up their girlfriends. Girlfriends will mess up their boyfriends. But God is calling us, let's forgive because God has forgiven us. God's forgiveness is infinite. God's forgiveness is unconditional. It has no exception. Jesus Christ tells his disciples, as long as you continue living in this world, you will suffer. And the suffering here is, we will be wronged. And on the other hand, we will wrong others. We will be mistreated. or we might mistreat others. But God is calling us, you guys, for you or faith to be increased, you must learn to forgive. You must learn to forgive. And this is our faith in God. Our faith in God makes us to forgive those who stumble us. It makes us to forgive those who stumble us. It makes us to forgive those who wrong us. If we believe that God heals our wounds, heals broken hearts, if we believe that God avenges others, when we forgive, we prove to our faith in God. When we forgive, we prove to our faith in God. And so a failure to forgive says, God, I don't trust you. God, this is not enough for me to handle. And Satan can use unforgiveness to produce pain and division. Satan can produce forgiveness to bring bitterness and rage and hunger in our hearts as Christians. But Christ forgave you and forgave me, that when we were sinners in rebellion and against him, God forgave us. In Ephesians chapter 4, verses 32 says, and therefore, we should forgive the same way God forgave us. Christians, let me just repeat this, that as long as we live in this world, we will be wronged. People will mess us up. But our faith in God himself teaches us to forgive because God himself has forgiven us. And so I don't know what is your bitterness today. I really don't know. I don't know about your past. I don't know the wounds your heart is carrying. I don't know the mess maybe you're going through in your life. God brings healings. God brings forgiveness. And God is telling us this morning that for him to increase our faith in him alone, we must show forgiveness. We must show forgiveness. The second picture of faith is faithfulness to God. Verses 7 to 10 says, will anyone of you who was a servant plowing or keeping sheep say to him when he has come to the field, come at once and recline at table? Will he not rather say to him, prepare supper for me and dress properly and serve me while I eat and drink, and afterward you will eat and drink? Does he thank the servant because he did what was commanded? So you also, when you've done all that you were commanded, say, we are unworthy servants. We have only done what was our duty. A picture of faith includes forgiveness. And the second thing is, a picture of faith includes faithfulness to God. Faithfulness to God. Remember, the first thing that Jesus Christ was teaching his disciples, you should show forgiveness. And the second thing that comes out here is faithfulness. Jesus uses the example of a servant. And servants are required to do their duty. And the duty is to serve their master. If we have faith in God, then we must understand that we are all servants. Servanthood is not with the preacher himself. Servanthood is not with Pastor Christian or the deacons and the elders. Servanthood is with every person who's been called by Jesus Christ. Servanthood is with all of us. If we have faith in God, we must understand that we are servants. Jesus came to serve and not to be served. And we too, we must seek to serve God. We must seek to serve God. A servant must be faithful to his master. And this master is our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And so apart from forgiveness, the second thing that Jesus Christ is telling us is we must be faithful to God himself. We must be faithful. Our God has called us to serve him faithfully, Christians. Our God has called us to serve him faithfully. It is not God who serves us. It is us serving God. I see this, let me use this illustration. I see this in Africa, where we have Christians who command God. Like when they're praying to God, they command God. God is not our mother. Neither God is your grandfather. God is a master who deserves faithfulness. And he's calling us to be faithful. We are stewards. We are all stewards. We are stewards of our money. We are stewards of our his creation. We are stewards of our education. We are stewards of everything that God has given you and me. We are stewards of his resources that God has given us. And God is calling us, let's serve him. And let's be faithful to what God has given us. Let's be faithful to what God has given us. We are all representatives of God in this world. And the Bible says, we are letters to be read. We are letters to be read. And people will only know about our God from what we present to them. And our faith in God is seen clearly in how we live. Christians, let me quote this. Sometimes we might be the only Bible that other people read. Our lives, our character, the way we spend our time, the way we spend our money, the way we relate with others, the way we treat others. And God is calling us, let's be faithful to him. Let's be faithful with all the resources that God has given us. Because a picture of faith not only includes forgiveness, but it also includes faithfulness. 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 I don't know who God is in your life. I don't know who God is in your life. Is God your master? Is God your savior? God is calling us to be faithful. God is calling us to be faithful. We must express our faith through our daily living. And God will reward our faithfulness. God will reward our faithfulness. Let's conclude. Let's conclude and say the picture of forgiveness. Oh, sorry about that. The picture of forgiveness, it's all about faithfulness. It's all about forgiveness. And many people look for extraordinary things as signs of faith. Extraordinary things are signs of faith. Many people look for big things as signs of faith. But Jesus is putting small faith in our daily living. We are to exercise our faith in ordinary daily things of our lives. Faith in God leads us to forgiving others. Faith in God leads us to forgiving others. As a testimony of how we trust his love, how we trust his healing, how we trust his justice. Faith in God leads us to live lives that are faithful to God. And as a testimony of fact, we are his servants. And so, are you forgiving? Are you forgiving? faithful? At the end of the day, when Jesus Christ will come, he'll ask us, were you faithful and good servant? May God help us. May God help us. It's only with the power and the strength of the Holy Spirit that we can be faithful to God and we can show forgiveness. It's not by our own strength, it's not by our own might, but it's only through the help of God that we can show forgiveness. Let's pray. Our dear Lord, thank you for your word and thank you for teaching us that that for our faith to be increased like that of a mustard seed, we must show forgiveness to others because you have forgiven us. And the only way for our hearts to be set free from bitterness and from rage is to show forgiveness. And God, help us be faithful to you. In the little things you've given us, in the big things you've given us, God, help us be faithful to you. And God, as we commune around the Holy Communion and as we celebrate your death in your life in this world, God, forgive us our sins because we're still weak. Our hearts desire you, but many a times we run away from you. God, forgive us. And teach us that you have forgiven us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. So I'll call upon us to remember the death and the resurrection of our Lord and Savior. And I'll call upon the ushers to come forward. The ushers, kindly come forward. As we celebrate the Holy Communion, let's be reminded that God has forgiven us. God has forgiven our past, He's forgiving our present, and even He will forgive our future. And let's be reminded that our tasks as Christians in this world is to be faithful to Him. And in the same way, Jesus took the bread and the cup. And he gave thanks. And he said, "Do this in remembrance of me." Shall we all receive them?